Now back to Brian Bushlack's business briefing on FM News 101.
Okay, first weekend in April, we've brought Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial and WFG National Title, in studio with us here today. And Pat, thanks for joining us on a Sunday afternoon. We haven't talked world economy in quite some time. And I want to get your reaction to North Korea and obviously some crazy stuff going on in North Korea. You're not the Secretary of Defense, but what should we make of this? Obviously, not a good thing for business, especially for our friends in the Pacific Rim.
Well, I have no idea. I'm probably like every other individual out there. You wonder why the North Koreans behave the way they do. Great deal of speculation that it's predicated upon acting crazy on purpose in order to get concessions because they scare people. Candidly, I think if we ignored them, we'd be better off than reacting to them. But who knows? I mean, there's no transparency on the motives or what's going on in that society, so it's really hard to even speculate.
Does it have any impact? I mean, I thought of Samsung, obviously, a world leader in many different product categories. Does that have any impact on them or other businesses in South Korea?
I think if it goes on long enough, it will. To date, I don't think it has had a large impact, but if it goes on long enough, it will.
Okay, Cyprus now. We haven't talked, you and I haven't talked over lunch or coffee or anything so, in many weeks. You've been on the road, so have I. I want to talk about this because crisis averted, or was it? And we've talked about Europe. It's been a while. But how does this small nation compete with other larger nations across Europe and be on the same currency? I mean, how much longer can that continue? Will they have to break up the euro at some point?
Well, you and I have talked about the euro over the last couple of years. The problem with the euro is it is a bunch of different nations using a common currency without a common fiscal policy. And it is, by nature, heavily favors a productive exporting Northern Europe as opposed to the Southern European entities. The Cyprus situation was really a function of money laundering. If you look at the disproportionate amount of savings and capital in the banks there in comparison to the size of the economy, it was obviously a stopping point for overseas funds to be parked. Who knows how much legal or illegal activity was involved, but there was a lot of Russian dollars there. And it, unfortunately, I think, was an easy place to get some dollars in order to fund a bailout. And I think it was a bad precedent. I think it was poorly thought out. I think it shakes people's confidence in the banking systems everywhere. So I didn't like it very much.
Including the U.S.?
Well, I mean, how much? Look, let me ask you a question. How much press was given to this?
A lot.
A lot. So, yeah, I think it bothers everybody. You know, I mean, once you open Pandora's box, you get whatever is inside, don't you?
Sure do.
Yeah.
Patrick Stone, president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us here on Business Briefing. I'm Brian Bushlack, and glad you could join us. Haven't talked about China much lately, but I was really impressed with the take that you had on China at the event we had here at the Bing Lounge to kick off commercial real estate in the year 2013. You made some great points, and I think that there's this underlying, I don't want to say fear, but concern about China being the next big superpower. And I mean, you really put that in perspective, and I didn't realize how old the population is in China.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a problem for the Chinese. You know, I don't think... Personally, I do not think there's anything wrong with having a vibrant global economy. And a vibrant global economy will include a lot of countries that have significant GDPs. One of them will be China. I don't think there's any question that China's GDP will be bigger than the United States' GDP, probably within 20 or 25 years. But on a per capita basis, maybe a couple hundred years, I don't know. It'll take a long, long time. China has, you know, billion-plus people, but it has issues. It has issues with a large cohort of people aging. And I think you see different estimates, but probably 400 to 500 million people over 60 years within 20 or 25 years. And that's a real problem. That's problematic because they had a one-child policy for a long time. So if you look at a bell curve or you look at a demographic curve of their population, and you'll have a significant amount of elderly people being supported by fewer middle-aged productive people. So they've got an issue there. They've got an issue with a bad banking system with a tremendous amount of bad debt. 40% of China's economy is investment. It's not consumption. It's investment. It's governed, is ran by the government, and they fund things. They build empty buildings. So they need some structural reform there. I think that everybody realizes that it's been like inflating a balloon, and I think there's problems there. I'll be very, very surprised if they maintain 7-8% GDP, which is what they need to just basically break even. China growing at 7% is equivalent to the U.S. growing at 3%.
So they've got the same problems we do, just 50 years down the road.
Precisely the same problems with probably not the probably not with the same degree of social consistency that we have.
That leads us back to our country. And, you know, when you talk to people who have traveled to China, or know our friends at Ferguson Wellman do frequently on fact-finding missions, they say the same things. A lot of empty buildings, a lot of literally cities that have been built that nobody lives in. And you come back here to the U.S., you've got to feel real good about where we're at. In spite of what we've been through the past few years, from a technological standpoint, an innovation standpoint, I mean, we still lead the world by a long shot.
You know, Brian, you've heard me speak, and I have gotten very optimistic long-term about the U.S. And in some ways wish I was young again, because I think we are looking at a renaissance of U.S. economic power. And I base that on a couple things. You know, you can start with energy. You've heard all kinds of things about energy independence. I don't know that we'll necessarily will achieve energy independence. But one thing we have achieved is we've moved a great deal of our electrical production to natural gas. Consequently, electricity in this country costs half of what electricity in China costs. What a tremendous advantage long term in terms of technological manufacturing and other things. We have probably the strongest banking system. We certainly have the best university system. We have the wealthiest corporations. American companies are going to own and run the world. It's absolutely extraordinary a position we're in vis-a-vis the rest of the world in terms of capital, innovation, technology, the cost of energy, and education. It's looking pretty good.
That's good to hear, because you've got perspective from the Fortune 500 level that not very many people in our neck of the woods have. So it's good to hear, because I know a lot of people were down on the U.S. the last few years, but there are a lot of reasons to be excited about what's coming. Well, when we come back with Patrick Stone, President and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, we'll send it around to Pat's side of the campfire and talk real estate, residential, and commercial. Some great numbers in the latest Case-Shiller report. Also, another You Called It department with Pat Stone. We'll talk about that when Business Briefing continues here on a Sunday afternoon on FM News 101.